Live Creative Now, episode 18.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work. Because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, and I'm Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. I answer questions that people leave on voicemail, or send me via email, or type into iTunes reviews. I especially love that because it helps the show get found by other people when you leave me a review. And you may not know that every month I host a live call just for Live Creative Now listeners. If you want to join me at the next one, you will find everything you need to know at livecreativenow.com/questions. That's livecreativenow.com/questions. At one of my recent calls, Talia asked a great question that sparked me on a 20-minute riff. It's something I get asked about a lot. So even if you have your own answer to this question, I bet you will probably glean something from my totally impromptu response. And then Talia and I chatted some more about some related issues as well. Really juicy stuff. That's one of the fun things about these live calls is that we can actually have conversations back and forth. But before we get into that, this episode is sponsored by the Erase the Chaos Toolkit, the ebook and companion workbook to get you from chaos and overwhelm to the kind of full color life your heart longs for. The Erase the Chaos Toolkit will help you hone in on the specific causes of your time crunch chaos, and it'll give you the tools you need to clear your plate and make space for creative joy. It'll help you liberate white space in your life so that your full color life can flourish and thrive. And you can get your very own copy at livecreativenow.com/erase-chaos. That's livecreativenow.com/erase-chaos. And now, on with today's episode. Talia asked a question, such a great question, Talia. She asked, what can an artist do to become unblocked? Well, you have come to the right place because that is what I'm all about. I am looking at my Keys to Creative Flow poster that I have on the side of a bookshelf so I can see it right from my computer. And I refer to it almost daily because the reality is that if you're doing something creative, you are likely to feel stuck or blocked a lot. Every time I start a new project, pretty much, I go through the same process, and there's always a point, several points along the way, if it's a long project, where I feel like, I'm stuck. I can't figure out what to do next. I don't know where to go with this. Blah, 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 block, block, block. And it's very easy to just allow that feeling of block to stall you, right? Hence the term block. So I have my 10 rules for the creative sandbox that are my like magic formula for getting unblocked. I will share with you a little bit about my rules for the creative sandbox, otherwise known as my keys to creative flow, because they really are these lovely little foolproof maxims for getting back into a state of flow whenever you're feeling blocked. The first one is, there is no wrong. Remember that. There is no wrong. A lot of the reason that we get blocked is because of perfectionist paralysis. We want it to be great. We want it to be perfect. We want it to be amazing. And when we're focused on being great and perfect and amazing, there is nothing more paralyzing. We have to get back into that creative sandbox zone of playfulness and experimentation and making messes and not caring about whether it's perfect or not, and not caring whether it's right. There is no wrong. There is no right. So that's rule number one. Rule number two is think process, not product. And it's all about, if you want to stay unblocked, it's all about continuing to come back to that place of not concerning yourself with the outcome. This is really challenging because if you're an artist or creator of any kind, of course you want to be pleased with the outcome. Of course you do. We want to make things that we think are beautiful and pleasing and amazing and wonderful. But in order to make those amazing, beautiful, wonderful things, we have to let go of having to make amazing, beautiful, wonderful things and root ourselves firmly in the process. That's really the juice. That's really the nourishment, the vitamins. When we sit down or stand up or whatever, however you create, and do that creative thing, that doing is what feeds us. It's not the outcome. The outcome is lovely and nice, but that's not the thing that feeds us. So we have to continually come back to, I'm doing this because I love to do it, because it's fun, because it feeds me. Think process, not product. So that's rule number two. Rule number three is think quantity, not quality. Oh my gosh. And that's the same thing really, isn't it? It's not focusing on, oh, this has to be an amazing, amazing thing, but start cranking out stuff. My experience is the more I crank stuff out, the more ideas I have for new stuff and the better I get. There's a great story that I love from the book, Art and Fear. The names of the authors, the names are escaping me, but I will put them in the show notes if this section gets into the recorded podcast. They talk about a ceramics teacher who divided his class into two groups at the start of the semester. The first group was going to be graded at the end of the semester solely on quality. They only had to get one perfect pot to get an A, but it had to be perfect. Whereas the second group was going to be graded solely on quantity. They were literally graded on how many pounds of clay they went through during the semester. 100 pounds would get an A, 90 pounds a B, or whatever. I don't know the exact numbers, but you get the idea. At the end of the semester, who do you think made the better pots? It was the quantity group. The quality group was agonizing and all angsty over making a perfect pot. So they never did. They were stuck in perfectionist paralysis while the quantity group was cranking out all these pots. They didn't care if they sucked because they were being graded on quantity. And what happened was they learned from their mistakes. So they got better and better and better while the quality group didn't get better at all. Plus the quantity group had a lot more fun. So that's rule number three, think quantity, not quality. Rule number four is think tiny and daily. Give yourself teeny, tiny little commitments. I'm a big believer in big, big, big vision goals, but making your commitments towards reaching those goals ridiculously achievable. Teeny, teeny, tiny, nano steps, micro steps, baby steps. And I can talk a lot more about that too, but that's rule number four. Rule number five is start. This is one I use all the time. Whenever I'm stuck writing a blog post or with a painting or anything, just start anywhere. It truly doesn't matter where you start. Just the act of doing something gets your creative juices flowing. Creative juices get stuck and blocked up in our little creative taps when we don't use the taps. That's what makes the taps get rusty. And the way to unrust the taps is simply to turn them on and to do something. It doesn't even have to be, it can be crappy. It doesn't even have to necessarily be related to what you're trying to do. Just start something and your juices will start to flow. Rule number six is when in doubt, ask what if. What if I tried it this way? What if I tried it that way? What if I did something completely opposite of what I'm thinking? That's a really fun place to be in, that what if, those what if question places. Number seven, take the riskier path. A lot of times we get stuck because we get to a place with our creative work where we think, you know, it's not quite done, but I'm afraid to add something to it because I'm afraid it's going to ruin it. And so we have all these UFOs sitting on our shelf or in our closet or in a drawer, unfinished objects that we've never finished because of perfectionist paralysis. My rule for the creative sandbox, this is not good for brain surgeons, but it is for creators. When you're in the creative sandbox, when you're in that exploratory place, take the riskier path, risk ruining the thing. The worst thing that's going to happen, yeah, you might ruin it, but you're going to learn something. You're going to learn something really valuable, and you might discover something great. A brand new technique, a brand new style might emerge from taking that riskier path. So that's rule number 7, take the riskier path. Rule number 8, dismiss all gremlins. All those voices of self-doubt and self-criticism, they do not belong in your creative sandbox. They will always, always show up. Because anytime you are doing anything creative, it means it hasn't been done before. It means there's lots of uncertainty around it. It means you're stepping outside your comfort zone. And that is when gremlins pipe up. So put them on notice that they're not welcome in your creative sandbox. And when they show up, notice them, say hello, and send them off to get a pedicure. That voice that says you suck, that voice that says you're not good enough, you're never going to be as good as so-and-so. All those voices, those are gremlins. Send them off to get a pedicure. And that brings me to rule number 9, which is spring the comparison trap. The comparison trap is really a very specific kind of gremlin. That's my worst gremlin ever, that says you're not as good as so-and-so. This other person or these other people are so much better than you. You should just quit, or who do you think you are, or whatever. That's a gremlin. Spring that trap. I have to spring that trap on average probably about 6 times a day. Get used to springing it and moving on. And then rule number 10, perhaps the most important rule of all, is treat yourself with compassion. My golden formula is self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. And it truly, truly is. When you notice what you're feeling and what's going on with you and what's working, what's not working, and if you're feeling crappy, if you're feeling good, noticing that and whatever's happening, treat yourself with love and kindness and self-compassion. It never helps to beat ourselves up and to tell ourselves, oh my God, you're so stupid, I can't believe you did that, blah, 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 blah. No. Give yourself lots of love. You can even touch yourself and be gentle and loving and compassionate with yourself. Those are my 10 rules for the creative sandbox. You can grab a free downloadable letter-sized poster that contains all of those rules in calligraphy if you go to melissadinwiddie.com/keys. Anyway, Talia, I'm so glad you're live. I'm going to unmute you so we can have a little conversation.
Hello?
Hi, Talia. Hi. What are you feeling stuck around, Talia?
I'm an actress, and I'm finding it difficult to find or get roles that I want. So instead of waiting for someone to give me a role, I decided to write my own script. And the problem is, I can get an idea, I can start, but then for some reason, right after I start, or a few days after I start, I get stuck. Like, because just like you said with your 10 rules, that, you know, negative self-talk, that self-doubt, this is a shitty script. No one's going to, you know, how are you going to do this? This, you know, you can't be like this other person. You're not Martin Scorsese. You're not, you know, Quentin Tarantino. You're not this, you know, and it really bothers me. It really bothers me because I take that to heart, because I just come up with stories, and then, you know, here comes, the story's not good enough. You can't write. You're not a writer. You're not a good actor. You're not a good person. And it is like a domino effect, and I hate it. I hate it.
So oh, Talia, Talia.
I'm stuck.
I so resonate with you. I so hear you. First of all, I want to give you a huge fist bump. How incredibly brilliant and wise you are to say, I'm frustrated, I can't get the roles that I want, and my best friend is an actor and her husband is an actor, so I totally get it. It's really hard. And good for you for switching your creative focus to something else that you have control over, because you don't have control over whether you get cast, but you do have control over writing. And I resonate so much because here's my sad story. In 1994, way back in the dark ages before the internet, yes, I'm that old, I decided I was going to be a writer. I had just gotten married, and I was going to be a writer. I finally figured out what I was going to do with my life after all the other things that I decided I was going to do didn't work out for one reason or another. This is it. I'm going to be a writer. And I spent a few months just struggling because I went through exactly what you are going through. As soon as I would get ideas, and as soon as I would sit down to write, either nothing would come. Anything that would come was told, my gremlins convinced me that it was total crap. And all those voices, who do you think you are? You can't do this. People who are good writers are born good writers, and you're a crappy writer. What do you think you're doing? And on and on and on. And the sad, sad part of my story is that I believed those voices and I quit. I quit writing for, I didn't start writing again until 2010. So like 16 years, I quit writing. Don't let that happen to you. What I finally figured out in 2010 when I started writing again, when I started my blog, Living a Creative Life, is that there's no such thing as a born writer. We learn to write by writing. And we have to be crappy first. I am reading a fabulous book I'm going to recommend to you if you haven't read it yet. It's called On Writing by Stephen King. By Stephen King, who wrote Carrie and Cujo and all those, right? Yeah. One of the most prolific, highly paid, best-selling authors on the planet, right?
Yep.
I cannot recommend that book more highly. You must read it. I haven't finished the whole thing, but the first section is all about his, it's an incredibly beautifully written autobiography in little vignettes. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh. And the reason that he became a good writer is that he started writing really young, and he was crappy at it, but he didn't let that stop him. And that is the only difference between you and your heroes, is that they have all the same voices that you have going on in your head, but they didn't let those voices stop them. So I am charging you. Do not let those voices stop you. Remember that the way to get less sucky is to allow yourself to be sucky first. That is the only way to unsuck, is to suck first. We are so afraid of making crap, but the reality is we need the crap to fertilize the good stuff. The crap, it's true, the crap is the fertilizer. Yeah. So crank out your crap. Now, that does not mean that you're being sloppy. It doesn't mean that you're, settling for, it's sort of a fine line because you don't want to let perfectionist paralysis stop you, and you also don't want to be sloppy. So you still get to reach for excellence and improvement all the time, but you have to allow yourself to be crappy. You have to let yourself be crappy. Otherwise you will not write. You will spend 15 years, 16 years like me, not writing and being really miserable. And if you go to melissadinwiddie.com/keys and you haven't already signed up for my mailing list, when you sign up, you'll get that free downloadable poster, which has two, it's actually two posters in one. It has my keys to creative flow, my 10 rules that I just outlined, and it has my imperfectionist manifesto. And I strongly encourage you to join the imperfectionist movement and make a decision to allow yourself to be imperfect and embrace the fact that you are human and you are imperfect. And that means that you're going to write things that feel like crap, probably for a long time. But the more crap you produce, the more it's going to fertilize the good stuff. And I have my imperfectionist manifesto magnetized to my flat files, which are just to my left. I have to look down to see it. But one of the things it says, remember, you need crap to fertilize the good stuff. And at the bottom, I think it says, make crap daily, which goes right back to my rules for the creative sandbox. Think tiny and daily. Write every day. Let yourself write crap. Even if you're, I did a year long project where I filled a 3x5 card to a one word prompt every single day for a year. So tiny, a 3x5 card. I mean, what is that? 75 words or something? I have never even counted them up, but not very many words. One word prompt, wrote just like, it's okay if it's crap. And the other thing I did with this project is I posted it. Every day I posted that 3x5 card, even when I thought it was crap. And guess what? Most days I did think it was crap. And interestingly enough, now that I have these 365 cards living forever on my blog, when I go back to them, more often than not, I'll read one and go, oh, that's pretty cool. Wow, I wrote that. But at the moment of writing it, I thought, oh my God, this is such crap. This is so embarrassing. I don't want anyone to see it. But I made this commitment that I was going to write and share for two reasons. One, I wanted to develop, a tiny and daily writing habit. And two, I wanted to practice sharing my work, even knowing that it's not just not perfect, but not even very good a lot of the time, because that really helped desensitize me. My theory was that it would help desensitize me to the fear of putting my work out there, and it really did. So that's my advice to you, Talia.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are so welcome. Please keep me posted. Let me know how it goes.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for showing up live.
No problem.
That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you're getting value from these podcasts. If you would like to chat with me live yourself and ask your own question about living a full-color creative life, remember you can join me through the end of 2015. I'm holding live calls on the first Tuesday of every month. Just go to livecreativenow.com/questions and click the big green button to register. And meanwhile, if this podcast is useful, if it's inspiring you, if you're getting any value out of it, I would be so grateful if you would leave a review on iTunes. Those ratings and reviews, they really affect how the show shows up in the iTunes store. And that makes a really big difference in helping other people find it, because that's how most people find their new podcasts, is in the iTunes store. And when new people find Live Creative Now, that helps grow the creative uprising. So you can play a really important role in this movement simply by leaving a review in iTunes. And of course, I would be so grateful. Thanks again for joining me. And until next time, go get creating. Mwah!
Live creative now. Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.